Phone and say who you are and ask a fairly concise question if you could, because we'd like to get a few in.
Michael Nelson. I'm a professor of internet studies at Georgetown, and I work for Bloomberg Government on big data and technology trends. About 20 minutes ago, Bono was speaking at TED out in California, and he said, "Forget the rock star. We need evidence-based activists, factivists." And 3 minutes ago, Bill Gates retweeted it and said, "I'm going to do it." The problem, though, is that these are people who aren't subject domain experts. Factivists are going to have to be able to pull together data from lots of different places without knowing the field. How can we get past that? Because the people who are doing these categorizations are typically the people who create the data. They're deeper into it. They know how to. They know how they describe this data. But the journalists that I work with, Bill Gates, these people, they're going to want to get data that's in layman's language. Any ideas?
Well, I mean, that's the problem that we all wanted to solve. So that's a spot-on question, and bringing in the relevance from what happened at TED Talk. I think, and this is just me, not my company's opinion, but I think that money actually motivates people. If Bill Gates is behind it, then presumably there's a lot of money behind it, and therefore, you know, we would find solutions to the problem. But really, from a technology standpoint, we are really talking about the hardest problem to solve, so I don't have any solutions there.
Well, maybe we need more people behind it. Is this a place where crowdsourcing might work and folksonomies, where maybe you're going to end up with lots of different descriptors for a given database because a lot of different people are going to describe it differently?
That's right, and the machine learning techniques are evolving, so presumably if we take into consideration the folksonomies that you were just talking about, then presumably on the other end, there are machine learning techniques that could actually parse out this information and come up with solid structures for defining these various ontologies and taxonomies.
One other thing to consider is you heard quite a bit about citations here and citation following. And while that's not necessarily the perfect way to find something that nobody's found before, if you can find somebody else that's talking about something similar, you can chase their citation. So once one journalist gets it, you have a pathway for others to follow into the underlying data.
I think, too, that organizations like DataCite, some of the organizations that Thomson Reuters is working with, similar organizations around the world, most of those do require some metadata description. So often this data was sitting, you know, in some laboratory someplace, in a data center someplace, but they did not have written descriptions of what the data included. I think as we start to register these data sets with DOIs, that will be more commonplace. So it will be a little bit easier to search for keywords through abstracts, to do maybe text mining, based on those actual words instead of just numbers or protein sequences or what have you.
Yeah. And I would just add to that, I know there are some efforts out there to help the researchers create that metadata in a very pain-free way. Mm-hmm. So when they're depositing something, that it sort of automates the process for them because they don't always want to make that extra effort to add that metadata to it. So there are some activities there.
Let's take another question. We have
one from the internet.
Okay.
From Elena Simukovic, or Simukovic, at Humboldt University in Berlin. And her question is for Mr. Manapalli from CNRI. How are you going to build applications based on metadata if the handle system does not require any metadata as compared to 5 mandatory fields when registering a DOI at DataCite? Are there any mandatory fields or a fixed metadata scheme in a handle system to come?
Handle system is basically a system for identifying the digital objects. In the handle record, you have capability to insert types and values, so type value pairs. So presumably when we build the type registry, the types could be pointing back to the type registry, and the type registry has recorded information about that type with the metadata schemas that we have come up with in the future. So currently, the whole process of initiating from an ID of an object to processing it is not possible because there is no connection, as the internet person has actually rightly identified. But the goal is to come up with this type registry where we have recorded types and associated metadata, and that would actually bootstrap the whole communication for the services to process.
So it sounds like we're talking about metadata writ large. I mean, there's metadata and there's metadata. you've identified the type, but you may need to know something more about the format, and there may be a registry necessary for that too.
Yes. Right.
Sure. Tom Mann, I'm a reference librarian at the Library of Congress, and questions for Michael and Lori. Michael, on your citation database, at the Library of Congress, we have Web of Science for the journal articles. I think one question that's going to come up for a lot of folks in this room and elsewhere is, how do we find out which libraries will subscribe to your database? Because it's not going to be a freebie on the internet, obviously. That comes up already at the Library of Congress when I show people Web of Science. Hey, this is great, but you know, can I get this when I go back home? I don't know. Is there a way for people to find out who will have a subscription to that database?
Short of checking at their home libraries at this point, no, there is not.
That might be something to put on your website.
Yeah.
You know, it would be useful, although it might diminish sales if people find out that there's one library in the area. Well, I'll leave that up to you. In the Web of Science itself, in addition to having a feature that tells you who cited this source, there's a related record feature that shows you who has footnotes in common.
Right.
You didn't have that in your data set. Would it be possible to have a related record search feature that shows multiple data sets being used in common?
That's something that's in the thoughts, but at this stage of the game, if you will, we don't feel that the amount of data that we have is sufficient to create the related records based on those common citation patterns.
Okay.
We've got some efforts underway to improve our ability to recognize data citations from the literature and to track that better, but at this point, it's too early days to do that kind of a
okay,
related
then for
record.
Both of you, what connection do you have in terms of indexing or making available data sets from the Inter-University Consortium of Political and Social Research?
That's one of the repositories that we cover.
Do you cover everything they have?
Probably best to wait for the second panel, but we certainly intend to cover everything that they have.
Wonderful.
There may be a slight lag in when we have the data in our repository. But when we cover a repository, we do, and as long as it's a data repository, we intend to cover everything in that repository.
And Lori, do you know if you cover that?
The Worldwide Science System does not.
Okay. The other thing about federated searching, when you're doing multiple keywords across hundreds of sites, you know, is it cancer, is it carcinoma, is it carcinogen, is it melanoma? Relevance ranking of keywords does not solve that problem.
Correct.
Okay, that's a major problem.
Yes.
Okay.
We're just about out of time. Let's try and squeeze in one last question here quickly.
I have a quick question. My name is David James. My question is about the misinterpretation of data argument that I hear a lot. People don't want to share their data because they're afraid it's going to be misinterpreted. I wanted to ask the panel what arguments you found to combat that, or what institutional policies can combat that?
Within the Department of Energy, that's something that we're currently, I think, working with a lot of our researchers on. Certainly, putting data out there does expose yourself to being misinterpreted. However, that's probably not a good enough reason not to share it. So there's a fine line, I think, to walk. A lot of the journal articles that do cite the data are still peer reviewed. So that would be one mechanism for people to be able to be assured that if another article cites data, that article would likely be subject to peer review.
Yeah, I mean, we're at the citation indexing stage. We're sort of a step removed from that, so we're not quite as close to the issue. But yeah, I think the point you raised, the association with a peer-reviewed journal, we hear of publishers potentially establishing peer review policies on the data sets themselves. We hope that will encourage some of that.
We are at the end of our time. Please join me in thanking our panelists again. Fran, come on up.